All right, it's a new month. May is here, and so is Columbus Mayor Jim Linup. Hello and welcome.
Well, thank you, Joe. Good to see you again.
Well, let's just begin like we always have. COVID, Bartholomew County is though in the blue metric level. I think that's an upgrade from when we saw you last month. Yeah. But then, you know, you're seeing state positivity rates going lower and then now starting to go back up again.
They've begun to tick up just a tad. I mean, we follow the numbers provided to us by the Columbus Regional Health and pay particular attention to their inpatient rate. The last number I saw, I think, was around 8. It's been as low as 0 here in the last couple of months. So yeah, it's ticked up a bit, but 8's a number that the community can manage. And so, you know, we feel heartened by that. And we're paying particular attention to what we hear from the northern part of this state. The counties up along the Michigan border have expressed a heightened number of infections. There have been some reports of some of what they call the variants that have shown here. But what we're, what kind of focused on is the vaccination rate. And the latest numbers that I saw were somewhere in the 40 to 45% range in terms of residents here who've been vaccinated. We still think we need to get a little bit higher, you know, into the 60, 65% range. But we know that the rate of vaccination has slowed. And so we were a little concerned and have begun to think about how we might approach the public and try to encourage people to pursue the vaccination. Because I understand it's an individual choice. It truly is, but it's not all about you or me. It's about us and the ability to arrest this vaccine before it mutates into something that we can't deal with. So we encourage everybody to go get vaccinated when you can.
Yeah. Well, and that's something we've been reporting a lot about, vaccine hesitancy. Everyone, I think 16 and up, can be vaccinated now.
Right.
Some reporting we did, Morgan County was planning for 1,200, a mass vaccination clinic. 97 people showed up and they had to cancel. And you're starting to see that more and more. Are you starting to get worried that it's plateaued and herd immunity will not be achieved?
Joe, I'm a mayor. I worry about all kinds of stuff. it's always something that can set you off your game, but yeah, we're a little concerned that people will figure that since the virus hasn't hit them yet, that they're somehow immune or they're safe or it's passed them by, and there's no justification in any of the scientific data that we've seen that indicates that that's the case or that that's possible, and so we continue to encourage people to get vaccinated, and we're contemplating some ways to reach people a little bit more effectively than we have, but yeah, to continue to encourage everybody who's eligible to get vaccinated.
Another interesting statistic, the highest age group with the positive cases now is 20 to 29 years old, more than 18%. So is that another challenge in addressing this to what's now a younger crowd?
Right. I think early on, those folks thought that they were bulletproof. And I can remember being 20, 29. I mean, it's not easy because at my age to remember that long ago. But seriously, you think that you're healthy and you're just not going to be susceptible to this. And that if you do contract it, you'll be laid low for a couple of days and bounce right back. And that's just not always the case. Plus, it gives you the chance, if you're not vaccinated, to have a low-grade fever kind of thing, a low-grade infection, and then pass it along to others. And so, again, we encourage all people, if you're eligible, to get vaccinated.
Yeah. And, is that what leaders, city officials, health department, I know you're in a lot of different meetings, is that just the plan, is getting the word out? I mean, I know we might be preaching to the choir on this show, but in terms of, like you said, this is just not about me or you. It's about right. Everybody. What's the next step to get people vaccinated?
Well, we're going to give some thought to that, but we've already been told there are a few factories here in the Columbus area that have a sort of a carrot out there, a reward for a full vaccination on the factory floor. And that is that, hey, we all will not have to wear masks. I mean, if we can all go get vaccinated, then we can all forego masking. And I haven't found anybody yet, you know, excited to put a mask on. But we've begun to see that here at City Hall. I mean, we've got several departments that are fully vaccinated. There are several groups of people that I meet with on a regular basis. And we all get together and we sit down around the table. And when we start, we're all masked up. And then you sort of do the math, you look around and you realize, well, you know, we don't have to wear this because in this room, everybody's been vaccinated. And so there's a certain level of personal freedom that comes with, you know, being fully vaccinated and being around people who are fully vaccinated. So once again, you know, the benefits outweigh the cost. It's just trying to convince people of that. So hopefully they'll begin to see that there are some advantages to being vaccinated, and they'll go get it done. But again, you know, you mentioned the younger folks, so those under 16. You know, we have concerns about you know, what happens when they get sick. I mean, these are kids who are normally going to school. Obviously, if they're at home, if they're sick, they're at home, and typically you're going to have a parent with them. And so you've disrupted a couple schedules, not just the kid, but the parent, and maybe anybody who works with the parent. So once again, you know, please, you know, get vaccinated, encourage others to do so.
Now, I did hear city and county buildings are open to the public again, so anyone can come in. I'm sure there's still some mask requirements there, though.
Right. What we have been doing for the last several months is locking the doors to city buildings. So obviously, the employees can get in, but we've had them showing up for some time. And what we've encouraged the public to do is to approach city employees, you know, through remotely, I mean, through the phone, with a WebEx meeting or Zoom meeting, that kind of thing, or at least at a distance, you know, if you meet outdoors and maintain your distance. And so the locking of the doors will cease, and we'll be able to invite the public back into almost all city buildings. I think fire stations will still be closed, and there'll be a couple others, animal care, for example. But come on in. But if you do come to a city facility, we will still expect you to wear a mask. We will still expect you to maintain distancing 6 feet away from others. And that'll become an issue. I mean, it'll become obvious what we're trying to do, excuse me, to come to a public meeting, be that a city council meeting or a plan commission meeting or what have you. You know, the public will be welcome to come in and attend in person, but we will expect them to wear a mask. And when the room gets full, as in the room is full, all the seats are taken, then, you know, we can't accommodate anybody more. And so we'll still have options for people to pay attention virtually. We've got a system we call Granicus that live streams our city council meetings and many of the other board and commission meetings that we have. Some of those meetings are also available on WebEx if you have business at the meeting and you get an invitation to attend previously. That'll still be available. But if you're here in person, we're going to ask you to wear a mask and maintain your distance. Members of the boards or commissions or the city council will still be allowed to attend virtually through at least the end of May. Now, they can come in person if they want. That's their choice. But the state of Indiana is going to continue to allow for virtual attendance by decision makers, by voters, through the end of this month. Personally, I expect that to continue through the end of June, but we won't get firm guidance on that until probably the third or fourth week in May.
I was wondering if you could catch us up on a project. I saw this in the Republic, and I feel like I'm kind of coming in midway on this. It's Air Park Campus, and there's a collaboration, I believe, with what Cummins Foundation on a landscape design project. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about, especially those people outside of Columbus, what that is?
Sure. On the north side of our city is the Columbus Municipal Airport. This had years gone by, it was an Air Force base. We used the name Bacalar to describe it. And today, if you land out there, the three, you know, letter initials or BAK, which stands for Bacalar Air Force Base. But today the name is Columbus Municipal Airport. But it's also the site for some of our higher education facilities. IUPUC has a place out there, Ivy Tech, Purdue Polytechnic. And then we've got a building that we call the Columbus Learning Center, which is shared by all three of those. And, you know, I think we've talked in a prior session about Ivy Tech. The Columbus campus or the Columbus building for Ivy Tech is going to be replaced. They are in the process now of building a new building, $32, $33 million worth. And when that's done, the old building will be razed. It'll be destroyed, taken away. That will leave us, obviously, with a little bit of a hole in our campus out there. And we've realized, too, that this is an opportunity for us to sort of reimagine what the campus out there might look like. This is also a gateway to the city of Columbus. I mean, those people who approach by air and land at the airport, you know, their first introduction to Columbus is what they see on their way out of the airport. Very similar kind of thing to, you know, Indianapolis. I mean, when you land in Indianapolis, I find the airport there fairly impressive, particularly compared to some of the other places I go. Well, our terminal will never be very impressive, but we can make the landscaping once you get off the terminal grounds just that. And so we have put together what we call the AirPark project, which is how we should landscape and plan for continued development out there. And the Cummins Foundation has graciously agreed to help with the choice of a landscape architect and you know, some of the planning related to that. So we've got a little group together that consists of some tenants out there at the airport area, and then some others within the community who right now have interviewed four, I believe, prospective designers, and shortly we'll you know, come up with the recommendations to which one should be hired. And this will tag along or tack on to the Ivy Tech project that we'll rebuild that new building build a new building out there and replace the existing one. So yeah, it's kind of exciting. You know, we've really got a fair amount of activity underway here in Columbus. You might think with the pandemic that things have slowed to a stop, but you know, we continue to move forward on the apartment project on the downtown area, relocation of the county's court services building continues. It's moving slowly, but it's continuing. And so, you know, we've got several exciting projects underway, not only in the downtown area and out at the airport. We've got, you know, a new company coming to town that will be in the dairy business. So all told, it's several hundred million dollars worth of construction activity and additions to either the tax base or just to the assets that we have here in town.
Yeah. In addition to that, Fair Oaks Mall development, is that still on hold?
Well, yeah, yes and no. Yeah. I mean, we continue to move forward, and candidly, the pace is going to pick up. We have received proposals from two architectural firms, BSA and Perkins & Will, and we are prepared to go to the Fair Oaks board with a recommendation that we hire Perkins & Will. So we'll see what the board wants to do, but that will be the next step. And I don't recall the date that will come forward, but sometime in May. And from that, we hope to get some drawings and, you know, begin to do some stuff here later on this year.
How is the city funding that building? I'm assuming that the revenues created by the few tenants left aren't covering how much it is to operate that building.
Oh, not exactly. The rental revenues at Fair Oaks have declined significantly, and that was anticipated, that the tenants would relocate outside of the mall. What wasn't anticipated was how long this was all going to take, and because of the pandemic, we, you know, just hadn't foreseen that. But going forward, we anticipate issuing a bond that will be financed or funded through the Economic Development Income Tax, and maybe a levy by the Parks Department. We just don't know yet. But part of it will depend upon what kind of drawings we get from the architect we hire. And we anticipate, too, that there's probably going to be three or four stages to this. And so we'll have a stage or phase one where you know, will want to accommodate the indoor sports complex, large building to play soccer or softball in. We anticipate being able to move the parks department in phase one. We'll just have to see what else we can get done there and then what makes sense for phases two and three. And I will share with you that we continue to meet with Columbus Regional Health and their progress or their project is moving forward slow as well. I mean, they've got their plans a little bit further along and they're getting ready to move as well. So there will be some action at Fair Oaks, you know, this year, maybe a few months yet, but yeah, we'll be moving forward.
But just in terms of funding it, like today, right now, is where's that coming from? Is that coming from the Parks Department?
You know, edit funds.
Edit funds. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the fund. That's the source that we had always anticipated using to either fund operations while we were figuring out, you know, what the final design would look like. And it's the same place that we'll look to fund the actual construction. So we're just using it a little bit longer, you know, than we had anticipated. We've got about a year or 18 months that has been sort of stuck here with the pandemic that has extended our timelines.
And is added a form of a tax districting form?
No, it's a income tax, economic development income tax, and it's the city's share of what all residents of Bartholomew County pay. You may recall the rate, I think, is 1.75% on your income. And so the county receives that from the county residents, and then the city of Columbus gets a share of that. And that's what we're using to fund the operations at Fair Oaks Mall while we're waiting for the next chapter.
Is it too soon to talk road construction season? Is that starting soon?
Yeah, we've got about 800,000 from community crossing grants. But most of that, you know, you can call it construction. It's really asphalt overlay. I mean, it will be the bulk of that activity. We do have a larger project on the northeast part of the city, Taylor Road from 25th Street up to Rocky Ford. Last year, we got, I'll say, 80% done on the section from 31st up to Rocky Ford. Right now, the contractor is working on 31st South to 25th Street. The northern part isn't quite finished yet. I mean, the construction schedule sometimes bedevil all of us, and that is the case out there. But we're still expecting the entire Taylor Road section to be finished, I'd say by the 4th of July, but it may be stretched a little longer. It all depends on the weather. But yeah, that's the only really reconstruction project that comes to mind right now.
Okay. Well, I know we're getting short on time, but I would like to give you the last word. Any big announcements or things that you need to say?
No, I would just want to repeat where we were earlier in the broadcast, and that is with respect to vaccinations. I just never want to miss an opportunity to encourage the community and anybody who might be listening to get vaccinated if you have the chance, and to encourage others, because you know, the primary reason you vaccinate is to take care of yourself, but there's a big secondary reason, and that is just to take care of the people around you. And so encourage everyone to do that.
All right. Well, thank you very much and hope to see you in June.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.